Last Sunday, Easter Sunday. Can I be really vulnerable? Is that okay? Imagine if you would, being in my shoes, being in my position, being responsible for everything and everyone, from the newest one born amongst us to the oldest that we have. Imagine if you would, having encounters with each and every one of you in some kind of degree, getting highlights of what's going on in your life, positive or negative. Imagine trying to figure out what it is that each of you needs and how to bring forth a word in its season, listen to the Holy Spirit, and do life as a mom, as a grandmother, as a wife, listening to Jesus in the midst of it, trying to hear and have my own time that isn't like a slot machine, that isn't for a word for Sunday morning. Got it? How many of you would like my job? Been there, done that, got the t-shirt, you know, how many of you would like my job? Okay, needless to say that sometimes being sensitive to feeling atmospheres and when I touch people, feeling things that people are feeling, and when I listen, the compassion that comes and the wrestling in that, it's really hard to know which way the needle's pointing sometimes because there's a lot of noise. I'm being really real. Okay? And then to wrestle through what I'm getting and wondering if it's just me or if it really is for you. Imagine. Easter Sunday. Everybody is expecting, he's alive! Yoo-hoo! Party! Throw the, you know, confetti! Dance in the streets! Let's go! And I am feeling, yes, he's alive, but oh, why do I feel this sorrow? And I wrestle through it, and I get two scriptures. And praise God, Pam comes up. I'm just like, I'm flipping through it. I'm looking for Romans 6. Romans 6, where are you, Romans 6? Pam comes up. Pam, what a great word that you brought, because it led me into what I felt like I was getting for communion, which were two scriptures we don't normally get. Now, why am I starting here? Because it started me on a journey for where we are today and where we're going to go for the next couple of weeks. So this is why I'm starting here. I read Romans 6. This was during communion. I went from verses 3 to 11. And read it with me if you don't mind. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin, for he who has died is freed from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. From there, I felt I was supposed to flip over to Colossians 3. All right? And I did Colossians 3, verses 1 to 4. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Not normal communion scripture, yeah? Didn't talk about on that day, on that night, Jesus took the bread, broke it, gave it to his disciples and said, take this, all of you, in remembrance of me. And then he took the cup and he lifted it up and thanking the Father, he said, drink this, all of you, in remembrance of me. I'm paraphrasing, not normal communion scriptures. After the service, a 14-year-old young man in this congregation came to me and he said this, Tab, I want to thank you for today's service. He goes, it was really good. I said, what was the highlight for you? What made it really awesome for you? Because he used the word awesome. And he said to me, the way you did communion. I said, what about communion? He said, the scriptures you read. I said, why? And he said, because I have no problem remembering that Jesus died for me. But I forget that he rose again and his rising means something in my life. Out of a 14-year-old. I don't know about you, but that seems like pretty deep water. Think about it. Because I thought about it all week. I have no problem remembering that Jesus died. We talk about it all the time. But that he rose again and his rising means something in my life today, in every situation I find myself in today, that it is an answer for those things, that I forget. How about you? In fairness, great. So it sent me on a journey because that young man is not the only one who forgets. When we walk in the room on Sunday mornings, it's almost like we have to go through the car wash. Walking through the car wash, baby. You come in the door, and we're waiting for worship to start so that we can get washed from the day and the week and all the muck that we carry, because when we come in, we look like we've been beaten up. There is no joy sparkling out of our eyes. Most of us, some of us have prime real estate on that, Christine. Woo, woo, come on, buddy. Yeah, and I'm convinced it's because she's with the poor, because we know Jesus is with the poor. But we come in so looking depressed, despondent, the joy sucked out of us, and our saving Jesus is weak and dead in the grave. And that's where he lives from Monday to Sunday. When our worship leaders put together these sets, and Jonathan, by the way, great job this morning. Amazing job, right? Because in his song choice and even in his lead-in, he led us in the gospel truth. And as we sang, the first song starts, what a beautiful name it is. We all start off, what a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. Do I even believe that? Christ my God. Na, 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 na. Na, 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 how about those Leafs? Na, 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 na. Oh, notification on my phone. Na, 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 na. Until we get to death could not hold you. They'll turn before you. And all of a sudden, I felt this rise as you remembered the truth. that he rose again. And from then, we took off. Challenge is, how do we remember every day, every hour? I need you, Lord, I need you. Every hour I need you. Right? I want to take us to John chapter 11. And if you have your Bibles, I encourage you to open them up. And we are starting at the very, very beginning. Now, a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was the Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Now, you had no clue, Jonathan, that I was going to be talking out of this verse, did you? Did you guys catch that? Because that's how we started. May we be at your feet this morning, Lord, as the woman who poured out her alabaster jar and wiped her hair on your feet. It is this Mary. This Mary. So the sisters sent word to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. Another way of saying, Lord, behold, I whom you love are sick. But when Jesus heard this, he said, this sickness is not to end in death. Okay, so hold on a second. Lord, behold. Behold. The one that you love. You can say, me. Personalize it. I'm sick. How many times do we go into situations where when we are involved in that situation, where we are overcome by the situation that is going on, the details in the situation, that we automatically enter into abandonment, move into control, and self-pity to grab a hold of, you know, shaking somebody and eating them for dinner, forgetting that we are loved, thinking that it is the very end of something. Yeah? And whether it's your carpet or whether it's a relationship, whether it's at work, at home, I don't care where it is, your bank account balance, somebody asking you to move, I don't know what it is. Doesn't matter. A sickness rises up. And you forget who you are. I forget who I am sometimes. And we forget who we are. But Jesus says, this sickness will not end in, but for what? So that who? May be glorified by it. Well, that's a game changer. What if your carpet, and you didn't know I was going to talk about this. So what if your carpet is an invitation for God to be glorified in the midst of what's going on? So that the Son of God can actually be revealed in the midst of the garbage. And what if the death we actually think we live in is what he's after? So let's keep going. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he then stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Oh, man. Abandonment. How come you're not coming to me? I'm calling out to you. How long, O Lord, will you stay silent? When will you run in to rescue me? Then after this, he said to his disciples, hey, let's go over to Judea again. And the disciples said to him, Rabbi, Okay, the last time we were there, gosh, they tried to stone you. The Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and you are going there again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in a day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. Did you catch that? Are you with me? Or are you falling asleep? Are you leaning into here? Or are you leaning out? Are there not 12 hours in the daytime? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble. Get out your pen and circle the word not stumble. Because he sees the light of this world. As soon as you hear that, you should be going, ding, 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 ding. Where have I heard light of the world? Anyone? John, what does it say? Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And John starts off by saying he is the light of the world. And so if it is the light of the world that hinders us from stumbling in those situations, the light of the world is not being revealed. And I challenge you that we walk more in darkness than we do in the light. And I'll tell you why. Because we spend a lot of freaking time watching television, watching our news feeds, listening to garbage. Garbage in, garbage out. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of it. I'm sorry, I'm not meaning to yell at you. I'm yelling at myself because I'm frustrated. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. Right? And there is a holy fire that's rising in me because I am getting so desperate that when we sing, you can have it all, Lord, I mean, I'm meaning it. Have my house if my house is what's causing a distraction. Have my car, have my bank account, have my health, if that's what it means. But whatever it is, draw me to you and keep me close. Don't let my eyes go. Take my eyes if that's what's taking me away from you. Take my hearing if that's what's causing me to go astray. Whatever it is, Lord, I want you and you alone. Because if you don't show up, nothing changes. And so Jesus goes on to say, but if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. And that makes me go and think, where have I heard this before? You are the light of the world, but you don't put a bushel over a light or a basket or whatever, but it goes on a light stand so that it can shine brightly. And I think we've put Jesus in this lovely little envelope and the Holy Spirit in this lovely little envelope, and we're too afraid to freaking bring him out. Yesterday, we were walking with our kids and our grandkids and my mother-in-law and our great niece and nephew. And we were at Victoria Park. We decided to walk down the pathway. And as everybody's walking and talking, and I'm carrying Florence right here on my chest, I see a little boy on a bike and a gentleman and a young lady, and they're trying to get past us, this brood of Fellmans. And I see right away, I notice that on the face of this man and the woman that was with him, that was her dad. I could see fear. I could see anxiety rising. And I'm at the end of our crew and they're like all in front. And as they're coming to pass me, you know, I feel now what I could see. And I turn around and I said, are you okay? Do you need help? And they stop and they go, I don't know. And I watched them run into the trail. And the young lady turns back and she says, There's a little boy that fell and had an accident and he's not moving. It was their little boy, 12-year-old. And I stop and I say it loud enough. Mark locks eyes with me, my son-in-law, and because I have the baby, I'm like, and he goes, poof, he leaves everything and books it after them. Like, we need somebody with CPR over there. Somebody call 911. Jeff goes over with his phone. Everybody drops everything. My mother-in-law looks at me. She goes, how did you know? Because I'm trying to be attentive in every moment that I find myself in. Looking for the Son of God and where he's working. And he is with the poor in spirit, those who are mourning, the lost, the least, and the forgotten. And as everybody ran, and because I had the baby and then my other grandchildren start to cry because there's been a lot of ambulances lately and Saoirse and Angus are a little traumatized. And as I'm holding on to all of this and trying to comfort my babies, my mother-in-law's going, you want to go, don't you, and pray. And I said, we'll pray from here. And we began to pray while we waited for the ambulance to show up. Our light is not meant to be hidden in our safety, in our comfortable place. Our light is meant to shine in the uncomfortable spots. Otherwise, we're just crawling under chairs and pretending to ourselves that he isn't strong enough, that he's still in the grave. Because the reality is, he made a promise to us, and he is the promise keeper, that anyone who believes in him, his spirit, which is what raised Christ Jesus from the dead, is the very thing that is living and breathing in you. And while he could have created loaves and fishes out of feeding 4,000 or 5,000 or whatever the case may be, he chose to work through a little boy who was willing to share what he had and show up in the moment. So I have to tell myself regularly, I have to shake off the fear that wants to overtake me. I have to shake off the thing that wants me to stay hidden. It would be so much easier to hand the microphone to somebody else. Hey, you want to preach?
No.
It's really easy for me to pass it off. I would never choose me, but here I stand. So here we go. This he said, and after he said to them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go that I may awaken him out of sleep. Fallen asleep. The disciples then said to him, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover. Now, Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he was speaking of literal sleep. So Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sake that I was not there, so that you might believe. But let us go to him. Therefore, Thomas, who is called Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go so that we may die with him. And when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. Martha, therefore, when she heard that Jesus was coming, went to meet him, but Mary stayed at the house. Martha then said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. And Jesus said to her, your brother will, what?
Rise again.
Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? I'm going to pause there. We are going to camp in John 11 for a while. But I want to focus on this. I'll tell you what verse it is so that you guys can be good students of the word. 11 to 15. If you're a good Bible student, you should say to yourself when you see fallen asleep, you should go, where have I seen that before? Where have I heard that before? First reference that you can think of. He has fallen asleep. Anyone?
Disciples are praying with Jesus and they fall asleep. And he says, why have you fallen asleep? You should be alert. You should be praying that you don't fall into temptation.
Couldn't you stay awake with me for just an hour? Okay. The garden. Where else have you heard fallen asleep? Rhonda.
In the storm. In the boat.
Who was sleeping?
Jesus. Oh, Jesus was sleeping.
Jesus falling asleep in the storm. It's a good one. It's not a wrong one. Where else?
There was a young girl, I think her name's Tabitha, that fell asleep.
Book of Acts, chapter 9. Anyone else?
The young man that fell off the window when he was being preached to.
Eutychus in Acts, sorry. Anyone else got another reference to falling asleep? The 10 virgins. The 10 virgins, and Jesus is the one who talked about sleep in that moment. 10 virgins. Anybody know where you can find the story of the 10 virgins? Matthew 25. This is the way my brain works, just so you know. I go on little road maps, little road treasures, to find out what Jesus is actually saying. In this parable, it's called the parable of the 10 virgins, Jesus is talking. And he's talking about the kingdom of heaven, okay? So if you're a believer, this pertains to you. Really good information. Camp here. Then the kingdom of heaven will be compared to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were prudent. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the prudent took oil in flasks along with their lamps. Now, while the bridegroom was delayed, they all 10, they fell asleep. All 10 got drowsy and began to sleep. But at midnight, there was a shout, "Behold! The bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all those virgins, 5 and 5, 10, rose and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the prudent, "Give me some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the prudent answered, "No. There will not be enough for us and you too. Go instead to the dealers and buy some for yourselves." And while they were going away to make the purchase, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut. Later, the other virgins also came, saying, "Lord, Lord, open up for us." But he answered, "Truly, I say to you, I did not know you." Be on the alert then, for you do not know the day nor the hour. If you take that falling asleep means dead, as Jesus defined it in the scriptures, in John chapter 11, if falling asleep means dead, And I'm not saying that this is the way to read this, but if you, we could just put those lenses on for a second, okay? While the bridegroom was delayed in verse 5, they all got drowsy and began to sleep. If falling asleep means dead, then there is a decay that is happening over that time frame. There is no life that is going on while they're sleeping. Things are slowly dying off. Now listen to the imagery in this language. But at midnight, we just read that the difference between the night season and darkness and the daytime and light, right? So at midnight, the darkest point of the night, there was a shout, "Behold, the bridegroom, come out to meet him." And then those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. When we light the lamp over here, we snuff it out with a snuffer that comes in here and conceals it. And when we do that, it actually hinders oxygen from going in for that flame to rise. Okay? You tracking with me? And there's the thing of not having enough oil, which is a whole other thing. We'll get to that next time. Okay? But I want to stop right here and think of this. Lazarus was dead in the previous story. And we know that the parable of the virgins pertains to us. Yes, it's a metaphor that pertains to us. Is that correct? Everybody in agreement? Perfect. Glad you're still awake. If Lazarus was dead, then without Jesus, we are spiritually dead. If Lazarus was in the grave for 4 days, then without Jesus, we are decaying. If Lazarus was raised and given new life, then without Jesus, eternal life is impossible. When we look at the process of decaying, a journey of 4 days, in this, it could be the journey of how long it took to get to midnight. Without Jesus in our situations, in our thoughts, in what we're doing and how we're feeling and all of that other stuff, if we don't invite him in, we will spiral into spiritual decomposition. And as we do that, the light which is within us is being covered up with a bushel, and the oxygen level is being removed, and that light will go to a point where you are not actively pursuing the oil that you need, which comes through three things, because it is fuel for the fire. Salvation comes through the word. Salvation comes through faith. And salvation comes through grace. Without those three things, if you are not actively getting fed those things on a daily basis, in the morning when you rise, in the evening when you go to bed, and Jesus is saying, "Oh, Pam, honey, sweetheart, listen, we've got a little bit of mud here that we're going to have to take off, a little bit of grave clothes that are clinging to you." Do you understand what I'm saying? And the only one who can choose that for you is you, because he's already done it. He is alive so that you can have a choice to shine brightly. He is alive so that you can activate faith, which can only happen on this end of the time domain. He is alive so that you can receive grace, which can only happen on this side of the time domain. He is alive so that you can rise and shine. And so I challenge you, cut off the stinking thinking. Unplug the television. Throw the freaking phone away. It's not helping you. It's hurting you. Because what you stare at, you're going to magnify. And I challenge you, if we did an accounting today, an audit of your life, more time is spent feeding off of garbage than this presence. Garbage in, garbage out. And your emotions will not change. Your mindsets will not change. Your patterns and habits will not change. It is not He who has stopped walking with us. He is with us all the way. But it is us who have let go of His hand and stopped listening to His voice. And so when we sang that one song, Just As I Am, I began to weep as you sang it, because literally in my imagination, I saw generations of people coming through this room to sing it with us from the moment it was first sung, and coming up to Jesus and declaring, because they've already gone to sleep and they know the revelation of the truth of everything He's accomplished. It is us who don't have the understanding. And as they walked up the aisle, fixated on Him, and our voice chimed in with the song that is sung for eternity about who He is and what He's done, in that, the life source poured out, and water, tears of joy, tears of sorrow. All of those tears that you then said in the next song, right? That last song where you said, I come broken and I get mended. I come wounded to be healed. I come desperate to be rescued. I come empty to be filled. I come guilty to be pardoned by the blood of Christ the Lamb. And that is actually where life begins. Resurrection life. He has risen. He has risen. Wait. He has risen. Are you sure you believe that? He has risen.
He has risen indeed.
Then let Him rise in here and in here and through here and in here and out of here, and what you're doing here and how you're spending your time and your finances and your energy, all of your resources. Let Him rise. Come to Me, all of you who are and I will give you, come to Me, all who are thirsty, all who are hungry, right? Come to Me, you who are naked. What does that look like? I lack. Which then should lead us to, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. And you don't know that unless you sit with Him. And when people see you rise from the death and decay in the things where He has not been released into your life from Monday to Sunday, do you understand what I'm saying? They will come looking to find you, as they went looking for Lazarus when the word got out. And so Lazarus is a picture for us pointing the way to eternal life and the resurrection. There is more we're going to camp in, so I challenge you to stay in these, because we're going to continue next week. Are you with me? Are you good? Are you heavy? With what? Guilt and shame? I hope not. But an awareness of where you're at. Because you can't do anything about what you don't know. Know who you are and know who you want to become. Jesus is the way, the resurrection, the truth, and the life.